Hey, it's your old pal Slim, and this is 70mm, a podcast for film lovers. Every Monday, I sit down to talk about recently watched movies with my dear friend and artist, Danny Haas.
There's a moment in this when Brad Pitt starts smoking a cigarette. He does it quite a bit in this film. And he licks his lips, and his lips are the wettest I've ever seen a man's lips on cinema.
And our own spiritual advisor, Pertalexis.
Wet Ass Lips List, coming soon.
We're kicking off Sequels Month with The Godfather Part 2. The first Godfather set the bar so high. But is the second one better than the first? Let's find out now. We have bigger fish to fry right now.
Let's fry them.
Literally breaking news that came in our Discord this week. I was getting added in two different channels. At hosts.
Oh.
That apparently, with the success of our episode last week, Dirty Dancing, there's news that it's happening again. There's going to be a new Dirty Dancing. Jennifer's coming back. Danny, do you have the inside dish on this news?
The article is quite sparse on details, yes, you're right. Everything you said is what the article said. She's coming back. Dirty Dancing 2.
That's it? That's all we know? We don't know she's got like a dance school at the club or anything?
She's returning to Kellerman's.
It's going to be another 4 years before this movie comes out.
Yeah, she never left.
Oh, I like that.
Whoa, she stayed there.
She's Swayze the instructor now.
They've been dancing for 30 years.
What do you want to see out of a Dirty Dancing 2, Berto?
Jennifer.
In 3 years when it comes out?
I would like to see an evolution of the coital shrug. I mean, they need to innovate this dance. Mm. It's top tier, but they need to go further.
How do you go further and maintain a PG-13 rating?
I'm not a producer.
I'm not our
ideas guy.
I mean, if they innovate any harder, we're not going to be able to cover that movie on the show. You heard me. We're not going to be able to do it. Let's talk about The Northman, the big movie the world.
Did you see it, Slim?
I didn't see it, but I know one host. I know one host went to see it. I know one host did.
Who?
Name him.
Pertalexis. Spiritual advisor, the creator of V'ger, the supercomputer who loves movies, saw
Talk
this
to
movie.
Us.
I did. I saw The Northman. I think it was Monday night. I texted my little bro. I said, "Hey, bro, you want to go see this movie, The Northman?"
And Pro Junior.
He said, "Sure." So we caught an 8 o'clock showing, and he said that he didn't know anything about this movie as we were walking in. He said he didn't even see the trailer. And I said,
"Love it.
You better buckle up, son." So that was great. We had a great time. I gave this movie 4 stars. When I saw the trailer for this, you know, I really was, from the trailer, I got the vibes that this was going to feel like a Hollywood action movie. Have you guys watched the trailer?
Mm-hmm. The first trailer.
Okay. I don't know.
Did you watch it?
I'm not going to answer it because I know Danny wants me to answer it so he can get pissed, but I'm not going to say anything.
So the trailer feels, to me, it feels like a normal Hollywood action type movie. Mm-hmm. But I was pleasantly surprised that it's very much a Robert Eggers movie. Like if you were afraid that this wouldn't have his formula from like The Vich and The Lighthouse, don't worry. It's very much his movie.
I just put a screenshot in chat. Breaking news. We're breaking a lot of news this episode. The Northman is now in the 4th slot of Proto's favorite films on Letterboxd.
Wow. Yeah, I would say it's maybe my favorite movie I've watched this year so far. So I put it in there.
Amazing.
Yeah, it just passed All That Jazz. Every week, Prado is having a new favorite movie of the year.
Over All That Jazz?
And if you do the math, it doesn't make any sense because All That Jazz is 5 stars, Northman's 4, playing by his own rules.
I'm not doing math with movies, man. Like, this is more of just a feeling, you know? I just wanted to change things up and say, hey, I like this movie. I had a good time. I'm not afraid to say it. Some people are living in fear. I know you're out there. Don't be afraid.
I will say after the first trailer and the movie poster, I have no desire to see this movie.
Oh, that first Dune poster,
right?
That they made.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, that's good. No one cares. So.
Speaking of trailers, how about that Downton Abbey trailer, Proto?
Oh my God!
Talk to us.
What? What is going on at AMC theaters? Listen, I have to sit through 25 minutes of trailers to begin with. I'm at the 25 minute mark and then they drop. I don't even know how to describe this Downton Abbey. Like, what is, I've never watched the show. I will never watch this show. I almost left the theater. I was so out of sorts. Like, I'm sitting, getting ready to watch a Viking epic tale of revenge, and I'm watching like I don't even, the Brits like dancing, you know. I'm gonna stop because I don't know what I'm gonna say next.
It's just about to go off uncut. We got legal Dale's behind the glass. He's doing the cutoff motion to Proto. He says no one cares. End this before we get in trouble. Downton Abbey. I've also never seen Downton Abbey, but it seems like they have a very vociferous fan base. One of our hosts might be in that fan base.
I am, yes. I've seen every episode, saw the movie. Very excited about this next one.
New friends that joined the Patreon this week, Caroline and David, you can do the same at 70mmpod.com or patreon.com/70mm. Get access to our dear friends in the VHS Village Discord or just discounts on prints and uncut eps. So we have a very sizable vault of exclusive supporter-only episodes, and Smoke Signals just went in there. There's a lot of requests for us to open up the new tier again for supporters to choose their own episode.
What is he laughing at?
I just saw the picture from Paul Preto after the Northman with the Colin Farrell makeup.
Oh my God. So the main event, this episode, you know, this is sequels month. The Godfather Part 2, all nearly 4 hours of The Godfather Part 2. And I'm not sure Danny has not dropped the art yet as of live recording, but it's top three Danny art.
Oh God, thank
You're
you.
You're looking at it right now in your pod app.
Incredible. Mm.
Top three art. Okay? This is not a game.
I'm not playing around.
To anyone who thinks this is a podcasting game. Danny, what did you watch this week?
I had the bad idea of restarting up my Bond train.
Oh, God.
And I fired up 1983's Octopussy.
I'm not sure that's going to make the final cut.
And Octopussy was terrible. I gave it one star. And every time I am seeing Roger Moore on screen, I don't understand how these movies kept going with him.
He's a dud.
He's so bad at it. And this movie, especially. The clown makeup, the gorilla suit. It's insane. The insanity in this movie. Anyway, I don't know if I can continue. I keep saying that, but it's bad.
Was me not playing Apex one night?
Yes, you ruined
the impetus for you to go back into Bond after 2 years.
I need to hurt myself.
Danny has no watch list. All he has is this James Bond journey. This is the problem.
This is what happens when you can't maintain a watch list. I will say that John Glenn directed this and several others. He directed Proto's Boy, Timothy Dalton's movies.
Dalton's the best.
And he also did, I said that one. A View to a Kill. So that one, you know, has the famous Christopher Walken character in the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Can we stop talking about it?
I'm sorry. I apologize for continuing, James Bond.
Our dear friends at Action Danger Pod. Is that how you say it? Action? Anger. What is it?
It's Austin.
Austin Danger. Action Danger. I kept trying to think of what the A was. Austin Danger Pod did a talk on Indiana Jones. So I was wanting to watch some treasure hunting movie. And Uncharted hit streaming. Gave it 3 stars. It could be 5 stars if it didn't have the 2 main actors in it, but it was good. It was a fine treasure hunting movie. That's about it.
3 stars. Let me read from Danny's Uncharted review. I will say I was pissed when they had a rip-off Indiana Jones line, nuns. Why did it have to be nuns? Mm-hmm. But then they actually reference Indiana Jones. So I let it slide.
Hmm. Yeah, they knew what they were doing.
Man, I'm struggling to see Danny's movie choices here with Sans Apex. It's causing pain in my heart.
Let me talk about my third one then.
Oh, God.
1996's Sleepers.
Yeah.
Directed by the one and only Barry Levinson.
Mm.
I came across this because I was looking at the actors in Godfather Part 2. And I recognize the guy, where is he at now? Bruno Kirby. I want to see what else Bruno Kirby was in, but Bruno is also in Sleepers with Pacino again. So I was like, I'm firing up Sleepers. It's got Mini Driver, Brad Pitt, Dustin Hoffman, Al Pacino. And it's fine. It's a fine movie. I thought it was going to be better, but... there's a moment in this when Brad Pitt starts smoking a cigarette. He does it quite a bit in this film. And he licks his lips. And his lips are the wettest I've ever seen a man's lips on cinema. And I couldn't stop thinking about it the entire movie. It was insane to me. I don't know what it was. I just couldn't get over it.
He's had more quotable moments in this episode than in the last 20 episodes. BYOG.
Listen, Slim pulled the plug on Apex quite a bit on me this week. So
he's a changed man.
Flailing about.
He's a changed man.
Just hitting play on whatever's on my screen.
To wet lips. Yeah, that is, does seem to be an art. I wonder if it was intentional because like I'm licking my lips right now. And I can't get them to like sparkle or nothing.
There's a glisten to the wet lips that Brad Pitt has. It's glistening in this light. You got to see it.
Might have to pull this app down. It's not going on the main feed.
Wet ass lips list. Coming soon.
Oh my God. It's almost time for The Godfather Part 2. The Batman hit HBO Max. Very, very recently, yeah. April 18th.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I fired up bad boy. Still 4.5 stars. I was about to say 5.5 stars for the first time ever. My God, has that ever been done? Danny just posted the photo of Brad. What is going on with his hair and lips in this photo?
Telling you.
Very unattractive, IMO. So I had a great time rewatching The Batman, had my headphones on. Mamma mia.
Oh, you win a headphone job. Nice.
Roku Pro Remote, my friends, after that Annihilation app. Sounded great. The Batmobile scene, obviously very great. Had a great time. Should we get into The Godfather Part 2?
Someone needs to
kick this off. Allegedly the greatest sequel of all time. Allegedly the greatest movie of all time.
Kicking off Sequels Month.
Sequels month officially kicked off. And just to set the stage for later this episode, Proto's the first pick for next week.
I'm done being first picks.
Danny's had it.
Retired.
Switching it up.
The Godfather Part 2, 1974. Proto, can you kick things off. Set the stage for our discussion tonight.
Several years have passed since the events of part one, with Michael expanding the family's business interests in Las Vegas and Cuba, filling a vacuum that he created. His empire has expanded, but his problems have only gotten more complicated. After a failed assassination attempt against him, Michael seeks to tie the loose ends, removing enemies and finding who betrayed him. At the same time, we see his father Vito as a child flee from Sicily, come to New York, and begin to build his empire. As Vito's family grows and his influence increases, Michael's inner circle shrinks. Can Michael continue his father's legacy, or is it the end of the Corleone family? The Godfather Part 2.
Michael Corleone. My thanks to Michael Corleone.
He wasn't finished.
No, that's it. He got
it. Over him.
I am nailing it.
What did that guy have in his throat?
Michael Corleone.
Gravel.
Big donation. Stand up.
It was like he took like three Swedish fish and then like got him stuck like halfway down his throat.
This is sitting, according to Viger, The Godfather Part 2. Remember, Viger is this, you've seen the NASA computers in those like warehouses. Mm-hmm. It's just they're walls, but it's a computer. Proto built the supercomputer, loves movies. We tabulate all our patrons' ratings and Letterboxd. This is a 4.64.
Oh my gosh.
From our supporters now. Do you believe it?
Goodness.
That's real good.
Let me see what the first one is. The Godfather is sitting at a 4.68.
Oh my gosh.
Very close. Look at very this. Close. Now, I cannot remember what we said previously, but I know several of us had not sat through Godfather 2, so I would imagine still first viewing, right, Danny?
Yeah, this is my first time, and I had to hold off after our first watching when the 50th stuff came out because we were planning on doing it. I was dying to jump in. Part two, No one would shut up about it. Best sequel of all time. It's better than the first one. Bullshit.
Yeah. Now, since the first one, you know, there's a lot of cultural references and stuff that I know we said as we were watching it, you guys recognize. Was it the same with this one? Do you feel like you knew some of this going into it already?
I knew the Fredo storyline from pop culture, but that's about it.
Fredo for sure. Simpsons, I knew of, what was the guy's name that De Niro killed? What was that character's name?
The guy with the black hand.
The white suit guy?
So I knew that storyline from The Simpsons because there was a flashback of Don Homer. It was Homer wearing that outfit going through the streets.
Oh, God.
Don Homer, I have baked a special donut just for you.
Grazie.
Don Homer, my son, he has a trouble with the...
Molto bene.
And instead of getting gifts, he was getting, like, there was a donut guy handing donuts to Homer.
Amazing.
So most of pop culture of this era I've learned from The Simpsons in some way, shape, or form. I think as I was younger, I didn't have a desire to see this, or later in life, was because there was like flashbacks to olden times. As a younger person, I was like, I don't want to watch that. That's boring. Mm. So I kind of like blocked out most of Robert De Niro's storyline. What about you, Danny? Because I remember like we teased the idea of doing two and someone had said something about De Niro, but you were like, shut up, I don't want to know anything.
Well, when the 50th came around, they did like a cast group photo with Pacino and Diane Keaton and all them, but De Niro was in it. And I was like, oh, De Niro's in the first Godfather, because I have no idea. And then when I found out that he's not until the second one, people started talking. I was like, please don't tell me. I have no idea who De Niro is in this entire storyline.
Please withhold your Godfather spoilers.
Yeah, you know. But let me get into my first bit.
Okay.
Okay. Please. Can I jump into it real quick?
Number one.
I have a gripe with this film. Not necessarily because of the length of this movie. I don't mind a long movie. I wanted an entire film of just De Niro as Vito. That storyline was like a chef kiss. I hated when it went back to Michael and the storyline that was going on with him. I really just wanted it to stay with Pacino for a long, because Pacino looks amazing and I loved him in that role, but there was also some really great cinematography in those scenes with him.
My God.
There were two shots that I felt it in my chest. Like, this is amazing. It's simple. Just the shot of him panning him walking across the rooftops, following the dawn in the street. Like, that shot is incredible. But then after he kills him, spoilers, the walk back through the street with the fireworks and people celebrating and him just realizing, you know, just becoming the next dawn of this village. Mm-hmm. And so my gripe is I just wanted two separate movies out of this. I didn't like flashing back and forth. I wanted to just stay in one storyline and just keep it at that storyline. Even if it was like, we did the Vito stuff first and then intermission hit and we jumped to Michael or something like that. I don't know. There's something about the jumping back and forth that bothered me. Because I think I just wanted more out of each scenario than having to have them both be shorter stories. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's where I was kind of at for this viewing.
Wow. Frodo, what about you?
I had the same experience when I watched this the first time. So this is my second viewing. And I was...
We're starting this episode off like episode 91.
I know, this is bad territory.
I was blown away by the De Niro scenes the first time I saw it. I think watching it again, I think this is like my favorite De Niro performance. Anything else that I've seen, I wasn't a De Niro like super fan or anything. I was like, yeah, he's a good actor. But when I saw him in this, there's something about the way he acts in this that is just amazing. The voice, the delivery. There's amazing scenes that are true to the character in the first movie, and De Niro is able to pull them off in just amazing ways. The scene of them eating pasta and him telling them like, hey, I'm going to handle it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you pay me $50. Mm-hmm. Bucks. Don't worry about it. I'm going to take it. That scene. And then also the scene where he actually goes and talks to the Don. Mm. And because I didn't remember, I was like, wait, how is he going to do? How is he going to convince this guy? But the way that he talks and the reasoning that he uses and the way that he buys time is just incredible. Like, oh my God, that scene. And then De Niro just looks amazing with this slick back hair.
God. The shot after the Don, you know, he gives him like $100 and then he like respects his guts. And doesn't kill him. Like, I'll try to find you some work. He pinches his cheek before he leaves. Yeah. And there's a shot of De Niro looking left at the camera. And you're just like in awe of the beauty of that shot. Mm. The whole movie is like that. But the use of shadows and also just sexy ass people like De Niro. Fantastic looking.
And one of the things that I do appreciate about the back and forth with De Niro and the Michael storyline is the kind of juxtaposition of they are about the same age coming into being dons of their families and the difference that each, how they're both different in how they run their families, how it almost feels like even though Vito, kills the black hand or whatever that guy's name was, There is something about his calmness and like his poise, and he kind of doesn't lash out. But Michael always feels like he's gonna explode. Like he's just a different way that he carries himself as the Don. And I do like, that's the one thing I like about the back and forth is the comparison of the two, the father-son in both of a Don role.
Danny just covered all three of my points. This is his revenge
I'm
episode.
I'm so sorry. He just went through all of them.
Trainer in chat, insane De Niro love when Nicolas Cage got blasted for the same look in Moonstruck.
There's no way you can tell me De Niro looked anything like Nick Cage in Moonstruck.
Different levels.
I'm just not a
ban. Should we ban Trainer from chat tonight?
It's
can
close.
Someone give him a timeout after that?
Close.
Insane comments. Back to the kind of just the idea of the prequel. So for those just joining for the first time, yes, we're watching Godfather Part 2 for the first time. If you've made it that far, thank you. If you haven't shut off and given us a bad review, we're just people like you and your friends. We're going to go, each host has 3 points. We'll go round robin. So my first one is about the prequel sequel stuff. 1974?
Mm-hmm.
We're doing not just like a prequel, but a prequel and a sequel in the same movie. This is like insane to me.
Francis, this
happened. This was allowed. And I think I just briefly looked at the Wikipedia that Coppola was given just like insane creative control.
Mm.
It's just mind-blowing to me that this is a movie. And it worked, and it's considered, allegedly, one of the greatest movies of all time and the best sequel of all time. It's just like mind-boggling to me that it exists in its current form, you know?
What also feels crazy is how perfect the first Godfather is to be able to follow it up with a film like this, but also to be willing to innovate in the way that Francis did with the prequel telling of Vito mixed in with continuing the storyline from the first movie. It just feels like next level filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I knew how it unfolded in the book. Like, was it told in the same way or was it more linear, the storytelling? I really don't know.
Right.
But I wonder if, you know, Coppola, if this was like his invention of just a way of just showing these two storylines side by side.
Right. Prada, what's your number one?
I really love the opening sequence. So it starts with a young Vito in Sicily. He's 9 years old. His father is killed. And they're having a funeral for him, a procession down the street. And then there's gunfire and Vito's older brother. It's his older brother, right? His older brother gets killed.
Yeah.
His older brother gets killed. And then Vito goes with his mother and she's pleading for like Vito's life to be spared. And they're like, no, she gets blasted and Vito has to run for his life.
Mm.
9 years old, gets in the cover of darkness escapes the city and gets shipped to the US and lands on Ellis Island. That idea, like this is your experience with life as a 9 year old boy. Mm-hmm. Like, hello, I'm in a different country. Right. I don't speak the language. I'm 9 years old. Just like that, there's like so much to take in of like thinking about this experience and just even like what he would think about life in the world. Mm. Like this is shaping how he understands the world to begin with, which I think is fascinating to see how, you know, the man Vito grows up to become. But even that, like, I want more, like, who was his mentors? Like, who raised him? Like, there's just like so much that I want to know more about. Mm-hmm. And kind of like Danny said, I wish there was a whole movie of just this story.
I was thinking about this when he is sitting alone in the room and Danny did this amazing deep fake of Ian as Vito through the window. Another incredible shot, by the way, in this film. But he's sitting alone in that room after coming through Ellis Island. And I was thinking about how, like, I often make fun of myself for being like an idiot and not knowing things, but like, you get so sucked into modern technology, TV shows, stupid ass ghost adventure shows. You don't think about legit immigration on Ellis Island ever in your day to day for most people.
right?
But like, this is real life. Mm. Like, people coming over and immigrating into the US around this time and making a life for themselves with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they built their own lives over decades like this. It's just insane to think about, like looking back. Like, you just don't think about that stuff day to day. At least I don't. And it's just great to just have that like memory back in your dumb skull.
Yeah, I also love that scene too. I think some of the best scenes in this movie to me, and I feel like I'm realizing this more when I just see it in movies, is scenes that have a lot of people in them. That are set in a time period are just like really impressive. That scene where there's the lines at Ellis Island for them to be registered and inspected to enter the country. Like, that is so good at just creating atmosphere and making this feel real, seeing all those people waiting in line, all in costume. And then another one of like the parade later in the movie. And then there's another party scene with a ton of people. Like, there's a lot of scenes that have a ton of people, moving parts. And scenes like that, it just makes the movie feel so much more real to me. And I just appreciate those scenes. I'm just fascinated how those scenes are shot and just like the work that goes into making those scenes happen. I would just love to see, you know, more about that.
I was thinking about that too during the parade, like how great it looked. And I was also thinking about if this was done today, it would be CGI BS. And it would just look like a Fantastic Beasts movie. Like walking around New York City in 1940 and just look dumb.
Getting domed. It'd be Vito looking at the dome.
The Disney dome.
Of Statue of Liberty.
It would be Mando special effects. Mm-hmm. People walking around. Danny, what's your number two?
Number two. This was like a minor kind of, not minor, but the addition of adding Vito's wife, I don't remember her name, having her be a part of the backstory as well with Pacino, I kind of liked because it kind of...
About De Niro or Pacino?
Sorry, excuse me. Yes, De Niro, Vito. How it kind of showed her coming up with Vito in becoming the crime boss that he is, or the mafia of Don, and how she kind of knows everything that kind of goes, like she gets the apartment back for that girl. She knows what Vito's capable of to get the apartment back for them. And also, I mean, and then you see her at the, and when we jump back to the future, back to the whatever, I don't want to say it like that, but I'm sorry. And she's like mad at the sister, and she's just kind of more gritty and real than Kay is as the wife of the Don, and how she's not accepting really of where Michael's at in this life. And it was interesting on how I like the story of both wives and the fleshing out more of Michael's mother and then more of Kay, and Kay going through an insane storyline herself in this film of, you know, not faking the abortion, but the Michael fake out of an abortion, or the miscarriage, and then her actually having an abortion. Like, Kay's storyline is nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but anyway, so yes, I really like the both wives kind of aspect of these two Dons.
Yeah, Ron says Carmella, wife's name. I loved her, young Carmella as well.
Mm-hmm.
What a catch! And just the relationship over time as him becoming the Don Vito that we all know. And is it my turn? I mean, this leads into my next one, but it's just Michael. It's Michael in present day compared to how Vito did it when he was younger. And I loved Vito's storyline of becoming like beloved in the town after what he did to take out Don Homer. And everyone just like, you know, they're giving him free stuff. They're asking him for help. And he's like, just like kind of like legit helping. They don't really allude to him doing anything bad to make sure he gets his way. So I'm not really sure if that is actually happening behind the scenes yet, or people are just afraid that that might happen. But I love seeing that. And then modern day Michael, he is crumbling as the Don. Yeah. Like, I loved Michael in the first movie. Loved his journey. Oh, there's Don Homer. Grazie. In chat, but every decision he's making, and I think it might have been Hannah, someone in chat potentially said his acting in this movie might have been a result of PTSD from the war, which I didn't even consider. But every decision he's making, it's just kind of like sucks. Like, you as the Don is kind of suck. Like, you're making all these hard decisions, like even Fredo, which we could eventually get into. But at the end of the movie, what a effing depressing end to this movie. Sitting in the chair, older, gray, and thinking back on his life and just the current state of the family business and the family and him. He's got no wife. He had his brother killed. He's kind of got like nothing, you know?
Yeah.
It's just crazy, the bookend of the two storylines. And that this was the end of the journey for 15 years. You know, this could have been just potentially the end of the Godfather story. I thought it was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What I found so compelling about him is he's very hard to read in this movie. And the decisions that he made, they almost didn't seem consistent. It seemed like Michael didn't really know what choices he wanted to make. But there's some great, like, Pacino has some great delivery. And there's points where I didn't know what was going to happen next. So when his sister, at the beginning of the movie, they're in Lake Tahoe having a big party, and she comes in with this new guy, and she's like, I'm going to marry this guy. And Michael looks at her, and she says, if you marry this man, and he, like, pauses for a long time. And I'm like, what is he going to do? He's like,
You disappoint me.
And just, like, his delivery of that was so good, but also so cold at the same, like, lifeless. Like, there's something so... And then, like, that just, like, builds and continues on throughout the movie. There's a great moment, though, where he forgives Fredo, where he comes out and he greets him. Mm-hmm. I forget where that was, but was it at the funeral?
Yeah, I think so.
And he greets him. But then he's like, you know, I think it was before, because then doesn't he tell the guy, don't kill? Oh, I forget.
Yeah, it was before the funeral. Right. He tells Rocco, you know, don't touch him until my mother dies.
Yeah. So like that, it seems like, oh, like that's a real touching moment, but he's still going to have him killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other scene where at the end, where Kay's at the house.
Oh, God.
With the kids. And they're like, you know, you got to leave, Kay, because Michael's coming back. And Michael comes in. She's standing at the door. And I don't know what she's really, I don't know if she wants to be like welcome back or accepted, but the way she's like looking at Michael with like anticipation of like, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? And then he just closes the door on her. Oh, my God. Brutal.
Yeah.
You were talking about Carmela, but a lot of this comes back to him lying to her at the end of the first movie. Yeah. I wonder how different it would be if he tells her and maybe almost tries to replicate his parents' relationship.
Right.
You know, you could assume that Carmela kind of was wise to everything that was happening or chose to be ignorant but knew. But that decision, you know, ends in disaster.
Mm-hmm. And that's to your point, Proto, Michael and Pacino's sort of his performance in that scene where he closes the door. You can't read him. Like, you can't read how he's going to react to Kay. He's very poised, very coming down with his scarf. And I didn't know. I was like, is he going to hit her again? Because when he hit her that first time, it was very rough to watch. And I'm like, please don't hit her again. But the closing of the door was so cold.
You know, Ron points out it mirrors the ending of the previous film, but how about when she went in on him and she says that it wasn't a miscarriage? I aborted your son.
I thought she was going to kill her on the spot.
I didn't want another one of you on this earth. Oh my God.
It wasn't a miscarriage. It was an abortion. An abortion, Michael. Just like our marriage is an abortion. Something that's unholy and evil. I didn't want your son, Michael. I wouldn't bring another one of your sons into this world. It was an abortion, Michael. It was a son, and I had it killed because this must all end.
Insane. that delivery was amazing. And I really thought he was going to kill her right there. I was like, this is the end of Kay.
Rest in peace, Kay.
Especially because there's also like the hinting of Anthony and like something not being right with Anthony, their son, which seemed to be like a riff within their marriage as well, where she's like, he needs help. And Michael's like, he's fine. But I vaguely remember, wasn't there like a line in the first movie saying that either like Vito or Michael didn't talk and for like the first 5 years of their life? Am I imagining that?
That sounds potentially right. Ron says Anthony is there, Fredo, because there were issues with Fredo. Remember when he was a boy? And look how Fredo turned out. Turned out great. Prado, what's your number two?
Man, we've hit on a lot of different stuff. Mm-hmm. The stuff in Cuba, those scenes are amazing. That hospital building. What? Like this, like it's like a outdoor hospital. Mm-hmm. These open air walkways with like courts in the middle, all like marble. What the heck is going on? That building was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then again, just like I was saying before, those scenes, like that big party scene there, because it's the new year. It just looked fantastic. Mm. But I also was like kind of confused, even though I've seen this before. I was kind of confused as to what the heck was going on in some of this movie. Like, did you guys feel like you were tracking with all the story points?
No,
I was not tracking at all with the deal that Michael was trying to protect, and also the one character that really wanted him to end the deal. The let's see, what was his name? So Hyman Roth the main villain. But Frank wants him to end that business relationship because they're like moving in on his territory. I had to rewind a few times. Like I even went back today to like clear up some things that I was curious about. So yeah, it wasn't as easy to follow as the first one. It seemed like a little bit more complicated or maybe just a little bit faster, even though the movie's almost 4 hours long.
I thought I was watching a chess match. It was hurting my brain trying to figure out every little detail, but also like who's Michael playing? Like, who's he being truthful to this time? Yeah. Who's he lying to? When's he going to kill Fredo? Like, I'm just like, my brain was like working overdrive in the Michael scenes. Cause there's just so much. Everyone is playing everyone and it's wild.
Yeah. Like right off the bat, he says that it was Hyman made the attempt on my life. Right. And I was like, is he just trying to trick Frank or is he trying to trick Fredo? Like, I didn't know who was responsible because he has that meeting with Hyman and they seemed kind of buddy-buddy, but Michael was playing him at the time.
Right. Yeah, he was just trying to suss out who betrayed him. Like, he pretty much lied to everybody.
They tried to find the Fredo.
Yeah. With that senator in that brothel, the dead woman on the bed.
I started a new letterbox list because of that scene.
Excuse me.
I haven't kept working on it, but dead bodies breathing. Is going to be my list I'm making on Letterboxd because I see it. I look for it every time there's a dead body in a movie. I look for them breathing. And so I started a list. So if anyone wants to send me movies,
Link in the
I started with Godfather Part 2 as dead bodies breathing and movies.
That's amazing.
Michael Corleone. What's your number three? I think Danny.
Number three. The Fredo stuff was my kind of number three. I actually really liked that storyline. I also liked that he killed him. I liked that kind of how it played out because Fredo's been given chance after chance after chance of not being an idiot. Mm-hmm. And he was told by Michael in the first film, like never go against the family. And he does it multiple times. And then almost gets Michael and Kay killed because of it. And he says he doesn't understand, but I love the scenes with Fredo. I mean, his performance in this is so good. And when he starts yelling at Michael in the house like in Tahoe, and the shaking, I'm like, please don't yell at Michael. He's about to explode on anybody at any moment. Please don't yell at Michael.
Taking care of me? You're my kid brother and you take care of me? Did you ever think about that? Huh? Did you ever once think about that? Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. Send Fredo to pick somebody up at the airport. I'm your older brother, Mike, and I was stepped over.
That's the way Pop wanted it.
It ain't the way I wanted it. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb, I'm smart, and I want respect.
But I don't know. I love the Fredo stuff. I liked how it ended. I mean, I don't like that he died. But I do like that's how it kind of wrapped up. It made sense to me.
I felt bad for Fredo at the end of this movie when he's fishing with the son.
Singing,
you know,
the Hail Mary.
Just keep him at home or something. Cut him off from telephone lines.
You can't trust him.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, would Vito have killed his brother if something like that happened?
Question.
I don't know.
He had his friends from the olden days were still alive in the first movie, right? Or at least one of them. Like he didn't turn on his buddies. He didn't have brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really like, I mean, honestly, by the end of this, I didn't like Michael at all.
He does turn.
Like,
yeah.
He's just awful by the end of this. Like there's nothing likable about him. I remember having this experience at the first time I watched this. It's just like that final shot of him just sitting alone, like, good riddance, Michael. You suck. Yeah. Get off my screen.
Well, to say was, I agree. It's so hard. But also, I find myself in a weird spot, like really disliking Michael, but also wanting him to succeed still. And it's frustrating because I'm like, I still want you to come out on top, but you're still a piece of shit.
I missed the quintessential like reveal where Michael realized that it was Fredo. Like when he says hello to that one
club thing.
Yeah. When he like references, oh yeah, we were here before. This is his spot. I totally missed that. Yeah. I have conflicting vibes about Fredo. It's a famous scene when it popped up on screen, you know, you're like, oh, there it is. There's the big moment. My number three, let's see, Michael flailing around, depressing ending. Honorable mention for the great deaths. Love when everyone got shot on screen in the face or like, it just looks so, I don't know, it looks real almost.
Right.
But the way people die on screen, the way the guy got shot, Don Homer got shot and he's just like frozen on screen. Yeah. He's like not even falling. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it looks great. But my last point, which I loved, back to De Niro, De Niro's amazing storyline, when he goes to Sissio's estate to try to buy the olive oil, you know, I want to get in the olive oil business, and he gets alone with this guy. After all these years, he gets his revenge for his family and takes that knife up his stomach. F yes, dude. That's the scene of the movie.
Gotcha.
God. Decades of work, and he finally gets a moment alone with this guy. Holy hell, I loved it.
I liked how hard it looked to cut someone in the stomach like that.
Oh my God.
Like, man, I never tried that. That looked tough.
Jeez. I mean, there was another...
Try that.
Speaking of like funny deaths, but Rocco, Michael asks like, do you think we could kill Hyman when he comes off the airport or comes off the airplane? And they're like, it might be difficult, but I think we could do it. The guy just does it in plain sight and gets murdered right away. That's your plan?
Yeah.
I'll do it. I'll just die.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if I just run up to him and shoot him and just run?
Yeah. I'll sprint away. I might make it. Jeez. What a moron.
What was the guy that was on trial?
Frank.
The sound Frank made when he was getting choked was almost took me out of it because I almost started laughing. It was amazing listening to him die.
Yeah.
Almost die.
That was nutty.
What a scene.
That scene also makes it confusing as well because the assassin says... He says, like, this is from Michael Corleone. Mm-hmm. And as the viewer... You don't know who's killing him. Yeah. So you just assume that it's him, which kind of throws off your whole tracking of what's going on in this movie. Mm-hmm. So it's like a really interesting choice to not only throw off your viewer in that way with that line, like giving no insight that it's the other faction that's trying to kill him.
I mean, also that old man assassin.
Oh,
is he
wait.
The worst assassin in history? Right. Because stinks.
The guy that choked out Frank was from the other people, but pretending to say they were sent by Michael.
That was Hyman's team. Yeah, it was on purpose. They wanted to kind of like set things in motion.
Oh.
So they lied when they said that.
Oh.
Yeah, Ron points out some of the actors didn't return because they wanted so much money. I also read in the wiki that like some of them wanted control over their own lines and they just like weren't brought back because they had like crazy demands to be brought back in the film. Let's see. So I guess honorable mentions and rating from Proto.
Honorable mentions. I love Robert Duvall in this again.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
The scenes where him and Pacino were talking Italian to each other.
Kiss me.
Yeah.
Chef I mean, kiss. Duvall's, you know, that character, he's the only one who doesn't fail Michael, pretty much.
Mm.
The only one in the family. And he's the adopted brother.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he doesn't come back for the third movie, which kind of sucks.
Excuse me, what?
That's not Brothers. A spoiler. I'm not going to spoil acting choices or actor not signing contracts. He decided not to come back. Bummer.
Wow. Yeah, so I really enjoyed his performance. I mean, Robert Duvall always nails it. My rating for this, I still love the Vito, Robert De Niro stuff. I wish we had a whole movie of that. And honestly, while watching this, I kind of dreaded any scene that were going back to Michael. a lot of it's like beautiful, but... Man, and I remember this the first time. Like, I really just felt, I hate saying this, but I felt like the runtime of this movie. It's just like feels very long. I don't really enjoy the Michael stuff as much, especially as the movie goes further and on, because I don't like the character. I don't like where things are going. And like the ending is such a downer in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish I had more Vito. So I'm at 3 stars for part two.
The greatest sequel ever made. 3 stars.
Wow.
Wow. Danny, honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions. I had Duvall down, yes. I had to instantly look up the Tahoe house.
The property.
2020, it went up for sale for $5.5 million. So then I logged into our 70 million on PayPal to see if we could swing it, and we couldn't. So,
dang it.
Just the fact that that place exists, I gotta see it. Gotta see it. I loved this film. I had a great time watching it. It is long. I don't think it's better than the first movie, but I'm still at 5 stars for this film. I enjoyed it so much. The Vito stuff, the De Niro stuff is top tier cinema, like top tier. Every second of it. I just wanted more.
Mm. Holy smokes. The greatest sequel ever made, quote, sequels month. Honorable mentions. I thought Connie looked radiant in this movie. Michael's sister. I thought she looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's see the gown. The gown that guy, the groan. So when he meets Don Homer in the like cafe, the old guy just makes a groan noise that cracks me up. I might drop it in here if it's loud enough.
Perfect.
But he sounded like a zombie. Don Homer wearing the coat as a cape just cracks me up.
Mm-hmm.
Like what a lost art wearing coats as capes. Right?
How about his scar on his neck? Did you catch that?
That was something else. There's a scene where Michael comes home and Kay is doing something. She's sewing and he just slowly decides not to greet her. Thought that was an incredible scene. Much said in that moment of just nothing happening. Everyone getting killed in the wrap up. That's just classic Godfather. I loved it.
Classic.
But depressing ending. I agree. I do not like this more than the first Godfather.
Mm.
Very good. 4.5 stars. For me, for The Godfather Part 2. Mm. I am anxious to watch the third one.
I'm excited.
I really want to watch the third one.
Yeah, me too.
But I will not be picking it, So I'm just shutting it down right now. I'm not picking Godfather Part 3 for sequels.
It's not happening.
It's not my pick right now. We'll see. Make him an offer I can't refuse. Oh, yeah, the De Niro stuff is the best part of the movie. I agree. De Niro looks incredible. His body fat percentage. I mean, he's got the ideal man's body.
The shape of his skull. I just couldn't get over.
His suspender look. Goodness.
Oh, he looks great. Let's see. What do we got next on our list here? We got to get to emails, I think, or VMs. I think we have. Let's see. Do we have any? We have. Let me see. Boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. We do have an email. You can shoot us an email, 70mmpod@gmail.com. Use the link on 70mmpod.com. This comes in from Scott Marvel.
Talk to us, Scott.
Hey, 70mm Pod gang. Love what you do. You guys are always thinking of themes for a whole month's worth of viewings. Hear me out. For November, Hanksgiving, four films of the nicest guy in Hollywood, Tom Hanks. Or for December, Merry Christmas. One film from each. Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pine, Chris Evans, and Chris Pratt.
Nope.
Just thinking ahead. That comes from Scott Marvel.
I'll do a Chris Pine month. That's about it.
I'd love to rewatch Star Trek.
That December, that's a cursed idea. I never want that idea brought up again.
Berto's using his executive branch powers to veto that month theme. Never seen it done.
I'd pick a Tom Hanks movie, though.
Tom Hanks. It's been a while since we saw his fro of hair from You've Got Mail.
Mm.
The everyman in that movie, right?
He's me. He's you.
All right. Sequels month rolls on, and now we're at the part of the show where people are sweating a little bit, getting nervous. There was a list that a magazine pointed out this week of best 100 best sequels ever made. A lot of buzz in our Discord about it.
Mm.
People saying, and then Prada, I think you might have even said your movie was on that list. Is that true?
That is true. My movie was on that list.
Goodness.
I'm ready. You have the first pick. You have the first pick.
I have the first pick. Yeah. I also said last week that my pick is a sequel to a movie that we've done on the show. And I said that no one would pick it. But I did get a DM this week.
Was it Art?
What?
It was Art.
I knew it.
God.
Son of a.
Art was the only one who figured it out as far as I know.
As far as your DMs go.
As far as my DMs go. So I picked a movie. I think it was in 2020. I picked a movie. In the Mood for Love.
Oh.
From Wong Kar-wai. He has a trilogy in which In the Mood for Love is the second movie. The sequel and the final movie in his trilogy is a movie called 2046 that came out in 2004. And that's my pick. We're going back to the Wong Kar-wai well.
Oh my goodness.
Are you still in the mood for love? Women enter and exit a science fiction author's life over the course of a few years after the author loses the woman he considers his one true love.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Excuse me.
I've watched two Wong Kar-wai movies since we did In the Mood for Love. Did we all give that 3 stars? I think we all gave In the Mood
three and a half stars. I remember we were in the midst of a Pocket Cast feature and we had a ton of people try our show for the first time. So that was probably a shell shock for people.
Yeah. But I watched two of his other movies, The Chungking Express and Fallen Angels. And I love those movies. Hmm. I thought they're amazing. I think Wong Kar-wai is a genius. So I'm excited to watch this for the first time.
Pinky's awesome. Out next week for 2046.
Good pick.
I'm still stunned. I'm looking at the letterbox right now. David Ehrlich, 5 stars. Kev, 5 stars, host of the Action Pod. Quote Austin. Danny from earlier.
My boy, Ben Sandberg, my brother-in-law.
Just clicked on it.
It says, is Days of Being Wild, In the Mood for Love, and 2046 the greatest trilogy of all time? Yes.
This feels like a Sandberg pick.
So I'm going to watch Days, I think, first, right?
Matt Buchanan, podcast godfather himself, 2 stars.
Interesting.
Come on, Matthew.
This is Sean Fennessy, 3.5 stars. Wow. Okay. Next week. Is this streaming anywhere? Did we say that yet? Not streaming. Oh, God. I might have to go to the library to get this one.
Cough it up.
Holy cow. Everyone go to their local library. Make sure Just Watch doesn't even have anything.
It's a $40 DVD on Amazon right now. 1 left in stock.
Cough it up. Oh, my God.
Can we
travel a DVD around in 7 days to the host of this show?
Where's Possession at?
I gotta say, who won our Godfather trilogy?
Yes.
So for leading ladies, we had the V'ger Betts, whoever had the most winnings after the 4 movies, and predicted our star ratings and what the average stars would be. Would win the box set, and pretty much you had to win every week to stay in competition. Mm-hmm. It seemed like, and at the end here, with over 28,000 V'ger coins, is Trainer.
My goodness!
Wow!
Trainer in the Discord, he won it all.
Congratulations, Trainer!
Might need to recount.
The V Joshis did it again. This is the future of currency. Proto is on the forefront of the future of our society with the V'ger coins.
Yeah, this is a centralized, infinite, worthless token that can be easily replicated and is not unique in any way. It's going to change the world.
Just like the real Bitcoin.
Mm.
Congratulations, Trainer. Congratulations to Proto for building a new legal betting construct inside of V'ger this week. But so next week, 2046, Wong Kar Wai. Any closing thoughts, Proto?
I guess I have to watch The Godfather Part 3. I haven't seen it either. Should I save it in case somebody picks it, or should we all just watch it on our own?
I'm not picking it. I love you guys. I'm not picking it.
Millimeter is a tape deck production featuring original artwork provided by Danny Haas. Spiritual Guidance and V'ger, the robot who loves movies, provided by Pertalexis. Producer at large, Dale_A. Transcripts provided by Sophie Shin and music composed by Cinematric. Prints and other merch are available on 70mmpod.com. This episode was mixed, edited, and produced by me, Slim. Support our Patreon for access to our VHS Village Discord to talk movies with new friends, access to our exclusive episodes in the 70mm vault, discounts on merch, uncut episodes, and a physical membership card mailed to you. To check out other Tape Deck podcasts, find the link in the episode notes. And if you'd like to support our friends at Letterboxd and upgrade to pro or patron status, you can do so with a 20% off discount using the links on 70mmpod.com. Goodbye.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.